Welcome to the Parent Ed Podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. Family life can be crazy and chaotic, so join us as we figure it out together.
Hello and welcome to the Parent Ed Podcast. My name is Alicia and I am your host for this episode. Now, in each episode of the Parent Ed Podcast, we will be tackling questions that parents are asking about family life, parenting, marriage, work life, and more. We will be speaking with everyday parents and practitioners as they share with us their experience and practical ideas. We hope that you will keep tuning in to learn with us and to grow personally in your journey as parents. Now, mentoring the next generation. It has been gaining traction in recent years. Why is it important and what goes behind mentoring? In today's episode, we'll explore the different facets of mentorship, from establishing effective methods to bridging generational gaps. Join us as we uncover the keys to building trust with youths and fostering their independence. Today, we are glad to have with us Wei Ng, a very active youth mentor, to share his story and experiences with us. Welcome, Wei Ng, to the Parent Ed Podcast. Can you share with us a little bit about yourself? Tell us, how many years have you been active as a youth mentor?
Hey, Alicia, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. Hello, everyone. My name is Wei Ng. I am 24 years old this year, and I have been working as a youth mentor for about 1.5 years. My hobbies include playing basketball. I also play the mobile game Mobile Legends, which is quite trending among the youths these days. And I also enjoy learning new things such as sports and games. So this year is actually my second time coming back as a youth mentor for the FemChamps program. I'm also coming to my second year as a youth worker. So it's an exciting time for me.
Great! I can see that your hobbies are also very youthful. Could you share with us what got you started initially on this mentoring journey?
So what got me started was a longtime mentor of the FemChamps program, who is also my friend, actually introduced this program to me. He felt that it was a good opportunity to befriend and reach out to youths from different backgrounds and from different schools. Personally, I have been impacted by older people who have journeyed with me through life, be it in school or in my faith, and I wanted to continue this trend of reaching out to youths, befriending them and impacting them. And I felt that impacting them through mentoring was a good platform to continue this.
You already from the onset, we hear from you, Wei Ng, that actually you have been the recipient of the life-giving, transformative work of mentoring in your own life, and you've been inspired now to continue to invest in the next generation. And we discovered that as young people, as they become older, as they age up, right, there will also be another group of people that becomes important in their life besides parents, and mentors have been shown through research to play a significant role in influencing some of their value systems that goes on in their lives. Now, from your experience, Wei Ng, can you share with us what are some of the essential qualities that you have personally benefited from and you think it is important for a mentor to possess?
I think as a youth, they have a lot of ideas that they want to share to the world, which is why Instagram and TikTok Reels is so trending these days. And I think they also have a lot of dreams that they want to achieve, a lot of things that they want to do. And so I think the first thing that is essential as a mentor to possess is the skill called active listening. As the name suggests, it is listening by in an active way. And how this is done is listening to their interests, what are their hopes, what are their dreams, or even what are some things that they may be struggling with that they find difficult to articulate. We also want to ask them questions to clarify. For example, if they have dreams and hopes of becoming a professional gamer or becoming an influencer, asking questions like, how do they spend their time pursuing these dreams? How are they going to achieve it in a non-judgmental way, in a curious way, is one way that we can connect with them. Because when they see that we take interest in their life, they'll feel happy because they say, hey, somebody cares about what I do. Somebody thinks it's interesting and it's not something that they find boring. I think the second thing is to befriend them through conversations and games. So this may be a bit different from active listening. This is more of a casual conversation, about day-to-day life, about their family, about their friends, and even playing games. So for myself, I play Mobile Legends with some of the youths that I meet. This is a game that they really enjoy. It's really quick and easy to play. And from there, I can talk to them about the game and really have a deep connection with them from there. The other thing is to lead by example, not just talking to them, not just listening to them or even playing with them, but also they observe how we behave, not just listen to how we talk. And the way we behave ought to be exemplary, doing things that they can follow and emulate, like helping people, leading others, taking the initiative. And these things, even though it may be small, but they observe, and if they see you as a role model, they will emulate. It is that impactful and such a great influence that if you are mindful of how we behave, they see it, they will emulate those things. Lastly is to have the heart to want to reach out to them and want to know them. It's something that's very important because they can sense when you're being genuine or when you're just doing something to clear a checklist. So being there, being present, not having an agenda and just wanting to get to know them is something that's also very important.
Wonderful, Wei-En. You have shared so many gems with our audience. I wanted to circle back to ask a little bit about the first gem that you shared, active listening. I picked up that you mentioned curiosity, having the posture of curiosity to inquire and to just pause and suspend maybe this thing about wanting to dish out advice, right? Because sometimes we think that mentors should be equipped to give out advice to a young person. But I noticed that in your sharing about active listening, you did not mention at all at any point. So I found this really helpful and very interesting that the posture of curiosity that you mentioned seems to take precedence and importance. And maybe that is the meaning of active listening, actually, to take genuine interest and to be curious about what a young person has to say, even ahead of what our views might be on with regards to their sharing.
When we reach out to the youth and when we talk to them, we always want to take the posture of being open and inviting them to share with us or letting them initiate the conversation of asking for advice. Because as we are listening to them, it is very natural, even normal for us to want to give suggestions or advice because of our experience as the older one. But I would just hold on to that first, maybe listen to them, find out as much information as possible, and to just ask questions, ask as many questions as possible. Hear them out, hear not just what they want to do, but hear their concerns, hear their questions, hear their uncertainties. And if you really feel that what you have to share with them, be it advice or suggestion, is good, do ask for their permission or find a creative way to say it. Like for example, if there's a youth that wants to be a professional gamer in the future, you may want to, instead of saying things that may discourage them, like, oh, you know, there's no future in gaming, I think you shouldn't say that, or that, oh, you know, your parents may not approve, I think you can say it in a way that is like, what do your parents think of you pursuing this? So getting them to think and getting them to share rather than just dishing out advice.
Earlier on in your introduction, you shared with us that one of your hobbies is gaming, right? And we discovered that actually you have hobbies that are quite similar to some young people. They like to play games and a lot of young people are into sports, right? Now, if we have someone who aspires to be a mentor, but they may not have similar hobbies with the youth such as yourself, gaming, you understand the world of gaming, you understand what is the thing that interests young people in gaming. Should somebody who aspires a mentor but may not possess similar hobbies or have similar hobbies as young people, for example, in that setting, talking to a young person who is very into gaming or do not have much knowledge in, how would you advise or suggest for this person to have a conversation with the young person?
I think there are two ways of going about it, if they are open or if they are game for it, no pun intended, is to learn and pick up the sport or the game that the youth is interested in. So for example, I enjoy playing basketball, although I'm not very good at it and I do not know a lot of the strategies and tactics, but I just pick up a ball. So I bought one and I started to practice and kind of get the basics down. Maybe watch some YouTube videos just to get the lingo in my head. And when I play with the youths, even though I may not be as good as those who play on the streets every day or play in the school team, I find ways to connect with them by praising them for how they play. I may say that, wow, you move very well, you know, I cannot block you. You shoot very well, the way you transition is very smooth. And when I compliment them and they feel good, that allows me to ask them more questions like, do you play for school? You know, how often do you play? Do you have other hobbies? And maybe find similar things to connect with them. Maybe they enjoy doing new things and that's something that you can resonate with and connect with them. Similarly for gaming, I actually took a long break from Mobile Legends because I was very frustrated playing the game. And I decided to come back because I really enjoy the strategy aspect of the game. So even though I may not play as well as some of the students whose rank in the game far exceeds mine, but I can connect with them on the strategy aspect where I can share strategy tips, how to play the game, how do I climb the rank, and that is another way to connect with them. So that's one way. The other way is, even though you don't play the game or even though you may not play the sport, you can still observe how they play and compliment them or even ask them questions about the game. For example, if you see them play the mobile game, you say that, wow, I noticed you do this or do that in the game, you know, could you share with me? But you can do so after the game. I think in the game, when it's all intense, it's not ideal to ask them these questions. But after the game, you can say, wow, you know, your score in the game is so good, you made this play and that play, could you explain, you know, how do you play this game? And actually, I take this example from my dad. I have another hobby, which is a trading card game, and my dad doesn't know anything about trading card games, but occasionally he'll ask me, like if I were to go for a tournament, he'll ask me, oh, how do I do, how many games did I win, and he'll just ask me questions about the game. And even though I know he doesn't understand what I'm talking about, but as I share with him and as I see him take interest in what I do, and he's happy that I'm enjoying myself, I also feel happy and I want to share more. And I think our youths will feel the same as well, that even though we may not understand all the lingo or the jargon, but when we take interest in what they enjoy and we enjoy listening to what they enjoy, I think they'll feel very happy, they'll feel heard, and that may spark a special connection with them. So in terms of interest and content, though they may not be the same, but I think we can still connect with them emotionally, things that we can resonate with them, values or attributes that we aspire to have, we can connect with them on that level.
So good, Wei-En. Thank you for showing us an example of how, as long as we want to be intentional and we set out to be intentional and be resourceful in finding different ways to connect with the young person, and when they can sense that we are genuine in taking interest in their hobbies, even though it may not be something that we naturally do, that will come through and that connection can be built. It can spark off even more deeper conversations. Really like your examples and how you took time to even share your personal experience as well of how, as a recipient of that example that you shared, your father taking an interest and how that made you feel closer to your father. It's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I also picked up on the last quality or essential attribute that a mentor should have. You mentioned about heart. You mentioned about agenda. Because I think for those of us who want to do mentoring, right, we are often driven by a passion. We want to create change. We want to build the next generation. We want to pass on good things that we believe will value and build their lives. And often that passionate thing that we have, we possess, is really important. But I think there's a right moment that we kind of find that opportunity to bring that across. And earlier on in the conversation, you mentioned a lot about just showing the youth that we are taking an interest in their lives, displaying a posture of curiosity, and putting our own agendas aside. And of course, as we know, in the context of mentoring, right, the heart of the mentoring is that we want to build and invest in a young person and to see them be successful in life and go on to pursue their healthy dreams and goals. This art of imparting values, of imparting wisdom, as you mentioned, right? It takes time to cultivate and to grow. So for somebody who's just starting off as a mentor, how can they further refine and grow this art of imparting values and wisdom along the way as they relate with a youth?
There are three ways that we can do it with the youth. I will be using the FemChamps program as an example. The first way is as we sit down, as we talk, and as we get to know them, we may find out their interests, some of their hopes and dreams that they hope to pursue, be it further education or a job in the future. We may find opportunities to share our personal journey of how we ended up at the career path that we have chosen, and share some of the resources that we looked into, some of the people that we talked to, and we can suggest to them as some resources that they can tap into as they pursue this career option or this school that they want to go to. We may even open up opportunities for them to speak to some people that we know that may be in those schools that they want to go to or in those career paths that they want to be in, as people who may give better suggestions or advice. So that's one way. The other way is during the FemChamps program, there are different things that the students will need to do, such as planning for their project about what they learned from the program, as well as to practice what they have learned in the program for their family back home. So one way to lead by example is to start with yourself, doing it for yourself first, maybe helping out at home, bringing your family out for a meal, and then taking pictures, writing a short reflection and sharing it with your students. Because for them at a young age, doing something for their family, be it helping out at home, going out for a meal, for them sometimes it feels a bit awkward or it feels a bit scary to take the initiative because their parents may think, hey, what's wrong? Do you have something important to tell us? This is something that's out of the ordinary. So for them, it's a very big step. But when we show them that it can be done and we share how we did it, that may inspire and encourage them to follow in our footsteps. And it's very important that when they take the first step to try, even though it may not be something that is very grand, it may be as simple as asking their mom and dad how was their day. We want to affirm their effort to try, and that gives them a lot of encouragement to continue to grow and cultivate these good things that they can do for their family. So the encouragement and the affirmation is very important. And lastly is to look out for teachable moments. If we see that they exhibit leadership qualities such as organizing something for their family or within the program to gather everybody and lead the discussion, we want to affirm that. Because when they take the initiative to do these things and we affirm them, it actually reinforces it for them and they want to do it again. And when we see that they may be behaving in a way that may not be helpful to those around them, we want to pull them aside on a one-to-one basis. So we don't want to be quick to scold them, we don't want to scold them, but we want to help them to recognize that actually their actions have consequences and some actions may not be as helpful, because it may have consequences that affect others negatively. But there are some actions that we do that have positive consequences or effect on other people. And we want to do that more often. And we want to help them to see that they have the potential to grow and to change and to nudge them in the right direction. So those are some ways we can impact them.
Now, on that note, let's give this conversation a little bit of a balance, right? As we know, challenges are also part and parcel of the mentoring journey. You've shared with us a lot of great tips, your personal life experience. Can we ask you to share maybe a challenge that you could recall in your mentoring journey thus far?
In my first year, I was assigned as a mentor for a local secondary school. These students were about 13 years old. And we started out the program with a 3-day, 2-night camp. And the challenge was I had 2 boys in the group. The group consists of 13 students, 2 of which were boys and 11 of them were girls. So I was taking the boys, and as I was talking to them and as I was befriending them, I realized that one of them wasn't as responsive to me. To his friends, he was full of energy. He talked to them. But when it came to me, he seemed a bit closed up. Didn't want to open up, not as responsive. The other one, he came across as very shy. He spoke very softly and he was mostly quiet, to the point where some of the other students may exclude him unintentionally from the conversation or from the activity. So with 2 students with very different personalities, it was a great challenge to not only engage them individually, but also to engage them as part of the bigger group conversation. How I overcame this challenge with this group particularly was going back to what I mentioned, asking questions. So for one of them who was loud with his friends, who maybe a bit closed up with me, the first question I asked him was, what was his thoughts about coming for this camp? How did he feel? And what was he expecting out of this camp? And he shared with me that honestly, he didn't know why he was here. He wasn't sure what this camp was about. I asked him, you know, if he was keen to find out more what this camp is about. And thankfully, he was open to listen to me share with him what this camp is about, what we'll be doing in this camp, and that it'll be fun. Not just learning, but also playing different games and activities. And as I continued to have such conversations with him, finding out about his school, finding out about his hobbies, I realized that he also enjoyed playing Mobile Legends. And that was a very big opening for me, because I decided to add him in the game. And I told him that, hey, later at night in the bunk when we're resting, we can play. And we did, and that really opened him up to be more responsive. Although at times in the program, he may still not be sure what's going on and why is he part of this camp. But I believe that I have made that connection with him in the game, and we got to talk and we became friends from there. For the other boy who was a bit quiet, I also found out that he was interested in Mobile Legends, and that was another way to connect with him. So even though in person he may be shy, he may be quiet, he may not share much, I think that's okay because I can interact with him non-verbally when we play together. And it also gives me opportunity to compliment him when he makes a good play. It makes him feel more comfortable around me that, hey, I can connect with this older brother. I can share a common interest with him. And that allowed me to slowly talk to him more about other areas in his life.
Thanks, Wei-En. Your gaming hobby certainly came in useful in this setting, but we also noted the art of asking good questions is essential and helpful to break the ice and to engage these students and this youth in that setting. Now, before we wrap up, could you give us some quick tips for parents? Because we have many parents listening on into this podcast, so what are some handy tips that you can share with our parents in terms of either connecting with their teens or how do you nurture this art of having good open conversations with their children?
Connecting with the youth from parent to child is a great challenge with so many things vying for their attention, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and even their friends. I think one quick tip that I will give is, in addition to asking the normal questions that we will ask, how's your day, how's school, is to ask them how they are feeling about school. For example, at the start of the year, some of them may be moving into a new phase of studies. Things may get more difficult. There may be new things. There may be uncertainties. And taking time to ask them how they feel, taking time to ask them how they think is a really essential part of showing care and concern to them. And when we listen to them, we also don't want to be quick to give them advice or suggestions. We just want to listen, assure them that they are being heard. And if they are willing to share more or if they ever need support, let them know that your door is always open to them. I think they will really appreciate it. And it may open up more conversations from there.
Not just asking about the what, but how the youth might feel about what's happening in their daily life in school. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and also the many, many strategies and tips and also your personal experiences. I believe that your sharing has really inspired mentors and also potential mentors out there. And we trust that parents who are listening in as well will also benefit from your tips in connecting with their own youth. Now, as we wrap up today's episode, what would be a last word from you, a nugget of wisdom you could give to someone who is listening in and is now considering to be a mentor? What's my first step that I could take?
I think it's to give it a try. We don't have to be the perfect mentor, you know, doing everything perfectly. I think what's important is to have the heart to want to be a genuine friend to the youth that you're interacting with, because they can feel the genuineness from you. When they see that you really want to be a genuine friend, to listen to them, to journey with them, they will appreciate it and it'll be more organic and it'll be more impactful for the youth. So just go out there and give it a try.
Great. Thank you so much. Starting small, starting somewhere, but take the first step. And thanks, Wei-En, for also sharing your experiences with FemChamps as well. And that is definitely a community that one can get plugged into if they are interested to start mentoring. Now, if you're keen to volunteer with us as a youth mentor, do check out our volunteer page on our website at family.org.sg/volunteer. We've come to the end of this episode. For listeners tuning in, we hope you've gained some new insights into the world of mentoring young people. We hope you will keep tuning in to the Parent Ed Podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey. So until next time, have a great week with your family.